For the Henderson County Animal Services Advisory Committee meeting, April 13th, 2017, at 5:30 p.m. And I'd like to welcome everyone who's here to either observe or participate. And the first thing we have on the agenda today is a public comment. Who is going to initiate? If anyone has a comment or anyone would like to address the committee?
Well, I have a comment, I guess.
Do you want to come up to the podium?
I was going to write something up, and I just,
my hand got in the way of a dog's mouth, and I can't write. I can't use my hand.
Just go ahead and identify yourself for the record.
My name is Valerie Lamoureux. I was just wondering... And like I say, I didn't really get a chance to write anything up or do any research, but if you have ever considered or would consider presenting something to the commissioners in means of having a law against the pet stores, and I think there's only one right now that is selling puppies and kittens, to get their puppies and kittens from the shelters, rather than from people bringing them in and selling them. I know that, like, I was thinking about it a lot because right now is a big puppy and kitten time. You know, they're having a big special for kittens at Brother Wolf and all this stuff. And I know when we were building fences, we would have people, they wouldn't let us spay their dog because they said, oh, we know we love her having puppies all the time and we can always just take them to the shelter or the pet store, so... And since there's only one, it wouldn't hurt anybody's revenue because they could just as easily get puppies and kittens from...
You say there's only one.
Yeah, that I know of, and it would be a Spartanburg Highway, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Only one what?
Pet store that sells puppies and kittens.
Yeah, what about...
No, they don't sell
them.
No.
Oh, those are all adoptions.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So the only sale is... On Spartanburg Highway?
Yes.
What's the name of the...
I don't know. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I would have gotten something prepared, but I just didn't...
I kind of understand what you're asking, but I do have to ask you a question, too.
Mm-hmm.
What if I wanted a purebred dog?
They have purebred dogs at the shelters. Have you ever been at... Well, yes, you have.
I mean, but, like, I have cattle.
So
can I go in there and buy... Can I go in there and find a purebred blue heeler any given day?
No, but... the thing is... I'm sure that there would be some means that you could find a purebred dog like that. I mean, there are breeders that you can get in contact with. All if you Google that, you're going to find breeders. But I'm just talking about the pet store that is selling puppies and kittens, because I just know for a fact that people are not getting their dogs spayed because they know that they can get rid of those puppies and kittens and make a little money. And, you know, it wouldn't hurt the...
It's a pretty well-known fact that he's selling from puppy mills.
Yeah.
Have you talked to him at all?
I brought a full-bred heeler from him and never had a problem.
That's great. Good for you. But I don't think that's, you know, one good, story.
I think we need to caution about saying well-known facts about things that we may not be able to prove, because that would be against the law. So we're claiming that we have evidence of a puppy mill, or that they're purchasing from it?
So what's against the law? Him selling them when he's...
The puppy mills. Making an accusation that he is selling.
No, I understand what Mike said, but...
I'm just saying, you need to be careful about...
Okay. Point taken.
But at the same time, like, okay, forget the puppy mills. They're still backyard breeders. That's what we ran across all the time. We wouldn't build a fence unless they would get their dogs spayed or neutered. A lot of them, not all of them, wouldn't get their dogs, females spayed, because they thought it was wonderful and they enjoyed seeing the puppies and they were easy to get rid of.
You know what the law is on the backyard breeders? Is there one?
No, there's no law.
I'd be very open to talking with him, Valerie. I'd even go with you. I mean, I would hate to crucify this fellow, and I've not even looked in his eyes. So I'd really like to come from an approach of...
Well, yeah.
Let's at least attempt to talk with him. I mean, I had, well, all my dogs have always been purebred, but they come from rescue groups.
Mm-hmm.
So I know you can get purebreds from rescue groups. I know you can. And, yes, I would hate it if he is buying them from puppy mills because I know what the situation conditions are like in those.
Yeah.
But I would like to come from the approach of
talking to him.
Right,
yeah. The only thing that I would have to say on that, and that's great, I would all be happy to go talk to him, is that if we pass a law, or if you could present to the county commissioners the idea of passing a law, that would prevent one down the road, or one down in 2 years, and then another one. You know, I mean, we already have
not
gotten...
Not single him out, just...
Yeah, exactly. And then we've already got a law now, I forget which... what the number is on the ordinance about the sale of puppies and kittens in public places. So that's a good step. So this would just kind of be, you know, strengthening, I mean, sort of, in my opinion, kind of strengthening that a little bit. That's all.
Well, you know, I as you can imagine, I would totally support that, but I guess two things that occur to me, again, is the first, at least talking with him, and at least, you know, maybe educating him or, you know, opening the idea that there are other avenues. And the second is I'd hate to legislate for just one, you know, little shop. And I prefer that at least if we could direct him in another way or if another shop should open, direct them to maybe, you know, again, resources.
Although, just remember, though, Patty, you know, it wouldn't hurt him financially. I mean, he can get the puppies. He can go to the shelter or Blue Ridge or, you know, just as easily and get those puppies and kittens from there.
Absolutely.
But...
No, again, that's why I'd like to at least...
Yeah.
We'll make one more comment, and I can give you his phone number. I don't have it with me today, but I will get it to you. Josh James, it works for the North Carolina Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services, Animal Welfare Division. This gentleman, I don't even know who owns that store now, but he gets checked once a year like any other pet store, groomer, boarder, anything else. So when it comes to puppy mills and all that stuff, he's being checked once a year.
But I'm just telling you that I personally had people tell me that they don't want to spay their dog because they can take their dogs
to
fish and pets and sell them. And
no, these are pets that are
those are individuals, so we're focusing now on two different groups. You are singling out the business owner for doing the wrong thing, but you have these group of people that are not spaying and neutering their pets.
Right,
which
is a whole other issue.
We cannot legislate every business. You know, I don't like cigarette smoking, but that doesn't mean I should go and make a law that says you can't sell cigarettes because I just don't like it.
Yeah,
and I think it's wrong.
And the Department of Ag can regulate him better than we can, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, he's under some regulations already.
Right.
I think there's an issue.
Well, okay, I mean, I just a suggestion because I know that, you know, there are tons of cities and counties that are passing that law. It, you know, this would not be some big, shocking new idea. So,
you know. I was very hesitant about telling specific business owners what you can and can't.
Well, I think that would, the problem would be solved, kind of, I mean, if there was a law passed, because you're not singling anybody out. You know what I mean? It's just a...
I think the issue is even if he were getting the dogs from breeders to be selling in his store and everything, the problem lies with the irresponsible pet owners who are not spaying and neutering.
Right.
And that's the bigger issue.
Right. But they're not going to, their incentive is not to do that when they have somebody that will buy all their puppies. You know what I mean? If you took that away...
You limit the source of the pet store, then you limit the actions of the people who own the pets. Is
I mean, maybe then if they were approached by, like we were approaching people, can we spay your dog? We'll pick her up. We'll, you know, it's paid for. We'll deliver her. No, we don't want to because if that took that away, you know...
But that's a slippery slope. I wouldn't feel comfortable going down.
Okay, just a suggestion.
My name is Teresa Kishilevsky, and
can I just say one thing?
Sure, go ahead.
No. Sorry. I wouldn't mind us looking in or making contact with Josh James or checking into the puppy mill aspect of it.
I will tell you this. If someone's selling to a pet store, they have to be licensed by the NCDA. And if they're not, they're breaking the law. So there's a law there to target it.
And the board's not law enforcement, so we need to allow the Department of Agriculture and the deputies to follow up on.
So you're saying that everything's in place legally, and it's just a question of whether or not there's abeyance?
The question of whether or not he's actually, you know, it's more or less the question of whether or not he's doing it. I mean, they check him once a year. There's a rule in place. He can be, like he said, we need to let the Department of Ag police it and not us.
Okay.
I'm not. I know she feels like we're just turning our back on her, but there is avenues to go through it, and the Department of Ag is that avenue.
But I don't have any way. I can go talk to the Department of Agriculture.
You can call them on the phone, talk to them anytime.
But you start at the bottom, and you know what I mean? You start a change. Like the other towns and counties that are doing that, they're doing it. They're not going to the Department of Agriculture.
Well, it's more or less based. Your rules for pet stores and puppy, all that comes from the Department of Ag.
I know, but that remember the local laws are a floor, not a ceiling. You can always have the local laws stronger, you know.
But you have to have a reason.
You got to have an investigation or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, for what you're speaking of, it needs to be investigated. You'd be best to take your sources, the information that you may have, and start an investigation, if you wish, with the Department of Agriculture, and be your best.
Is this Josh James, someone that Carol...
He's over the western part of the state. He covers 28 counties in the western part of the state. And when it comes to a groomer, a pet store, anything, there's boarding, anything, he is over that. So if you call the office in Raleigh and you have a problem, they will give you, it's what they call a complaint or a request. They will call Josh, give him the number, and then he will reach back out to you or whoever.
Well, I have Valerie's contact information, James. If you could send that to me, and then again, if you want to pursue it, you know,
that seems to be the proper avenue.
I believe that would be the avenue we need to take.
Okay. And I almost feel like it falls outside of the scope of what we're doing anyway.
Oh, it does. I would be just doing this to assist in the, you know, getting the information to Valerie. But
hi,
Teresa Kishalevsky, Hendersonville. Well, this is pretty similar there, to what we've been just discussing. We have the Henderson County Shelter, which is, you know, a wonderful resource for people to choose the pet of their liking. They have assistance from several rescue groups that are local, which are Brother Wolf, the Blue Ridge Humane Society. Are there any others?
Charlie's Angels. And then we work with a lot of breed-specific groups, too.
Right, a lot of other groups. So it seems to me, as a citizen here, that there are plenty of options for people and an overload of animals, cats and dogs, where they have to give specials, like $5 for this cat, you know, free cat with... So... It's a continuous problem year after year. It's a battle for these rescue groups to try to find homes. They link with other rescue groups in other states, as a matter of fact, to try to ship them up to New Hampshire. I think a mandatory spay-neuter law ordinance should be put in place. That's, I don't know how you'd police it, but I think it's a starting point, you know.
Everybody looked at me. don't neuter me, please. No.
There are a lot of people who have valid reasons.
I mean, it would maybe police, yeah.
Some counties do, I think Buncombe has a similar model where they'll do a differentiated licensing fee. And yet some may be familiar with it, but I think they have. If you have an animal, you have to pay an annual fee, tax, if you will, for an animal that is intact.
We don't have a licensing fee down here, do we?
No. So we don't have any kind of licensing structure.
That kind of falls back on the owner's preference, too, because
it does. And just to give you a little background and history, now I know, 10 years is a lot of time, but about 10 or 11 years ago in this county, they proposed a spay-neuter law, mm-hmm. and it wasn't received well. I wasn't here at the time, but I don't remember if it wasn't received well by this board or the community as a whole. I don't mm-hmm. remember.
But 10 years, we didn't have a lot of things. The problems are exponential. And
actually,
you know,
shelter, the problems are less than they were 10 years ago.
But Community Partnership for Pets isn't here anymore, and people are looking for places to spay neuter their pets. They're scrambling around. They don't know where. Even wealthy people are saying, I don't want to pay $200 for this cat that showed up in my yard, but I don't want to have kittens. And so what resources do they have to spay neuter? It's just thought.
I've got one. And some dogs, you have to be careful. In a cattle dog breed like a blue heeler, if you do, it could potentially cause canine diabetes.
Yeah, but
I'm not
going to
do that when I want this dog to be.
Yeah, I understand. But, you know, when we go to war, we wind up killing a lot of people, but we save a lot of people. So it's the benefit of the whole versus the minority.
Yeah,
and
bad.
If you can, we'll never, do any laws if we look at things like that, because it's always a seesaw.
The community for what?
Community Partnership for Pets.
Partnership for Pets.
They offered $5 for cats and $15 for dogs.
And
it was a voucher program.
Right.
I believe.
Maybe that's where to start, to see if it can't be. Is there any way that can be put back on track?
That's a private individual that set up that fund.
And they're closing it down, 501c3.
It's already closed.
Thank you. Thank you,
Julie. Yeah. See, the county will be well served to fund.
The county does fund part of it. But we can't spay and neuter everybody's animals. We have it, it's income
based.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm new to this, but I just kind of wanted you guys to see a face to a problem that I've been dealing with for 5 years or longer. But my biggest concern is...
Sorry.
My name is Vera Stamey, and I live at 82 Rolling Oaks Drive, and I was just in here a little over a month and a half ago about a dog that was deemed dangerous. But my problem is I moved to Henderson County almost 20 years ago, but I have a really bad taste about Henderson County because of what I've been dealing with. And, I want you people to understand. I think this is a great thing. This is why I'm so pumped up and excited about being here, because I don't understand all the laws and everything that's on the books. But there's some people in my neighborhood. At one time, they had a puppy mill, and it was, like, nonstop. It was terrible. But my biggest concern now is backyard breeding, because they take these dogs. One group of dogs this past fall had been bred 3 times in a year and a half. I don't know how long a dog goes before she delivers her babies, but this dog delivered 9 puppies in this litter. Before that, she delivered 12 puppies, and this dog could barely walk, and I really felt sorry for the dog. But anyway, at the end, animal control took those dogs from that property. But it was a family affair. The aunt lived up above, the nephew lived down here, and it was nonstop. And I may be out of line when I say this, but these dogs were tied to trees for 6 years. It was nonstop, 24/7 barking. We couldn't sleep. I couldn't enjoy my property. It's dropped my property value $25,000. I can't even sell my house. I'm almost 65 years old. I want peace and quiet. I don't want to argue. I don't want the sheriff's department, animal control coming to my house. We've had a day from hell today in my neighborhood. And I will let Mr. Griggs get into that if that's what he wants to do. But my concern is, and my question is, where do we need to go from as a homeowner that I'm not a pet owner. I love pets, and I'm good to animals. But my heart goes out to these animals that don't have a voice for themselves, and that's one of the reasons I'm here tonight. because I want to know what laws or what I can do to help these animals or what I can do to see peace in mind and get my property value back up. And that's why, because Valerie, I think, has mentioned me a couple of times in a couple of meetings because of what I had been going through. I mean, I've not seen peace at my property for almost 6 years because we are in a subdivision where most of the property is either a fourth acre, half acre, and, you know, that's pretty close in proximity. So I think, I guess, because I went to a commissioner's meeting one time and we tried to get the tethering law to at least get the dogs off the chain for a couple hours during the day so they would see a little peace, you know. And these dogs didn't get fed properly. They didn't really have proper shelter until Mr. Griggs and them came into play here. You know, they live in these little igloo houses, and one of them, especially this dogs that gave birth to these 9 puppies, they had a tarp in the fall and in the winter when it was snowing and raining, and these dogs were treated horrible. And I was so saddened that I just wanted to walk away from my house. You know, my obligation that I made with the bank for 30-year mortgage, you know, and I can't do that because I'm a decent and I'm a law-abiding citizen, and I try to do everything by the book, and I just really got heartsick from it all. And I just kind of wanted to share that with y'all. So maybe if y'all could give me some input tonight about the backyard breeders and, you know, what we need to do in our neighborhood to kind of help and not have to put up with harassment from people that what we've been putting up with today. But, you know, that'll soon pass, I'm sure. But the backyard breeding, I don't really know, because what they would do is they would have these puppies, make sure they came and went out as fast as they were born. And I had one neighbor approach me and said she bought one of the puppies. And when she had it for a week, the dog got sick. It was full of ringworm, had heartworm. She said it became a money pit, and she took it back to that breeder. And they took it back. And I don't know if the little puppy died because these people did not have the money to actually supply the dogs with the health care that they needed and that kind of thing. So I'm just kind of seeking information and help as far.
Do you know what the difference is between a puppy mill and a backyard breeder?
Well, this is all new to me because, like I said, in the era that I grew up, animals, they roam the neighborhood, and we, you know, if we saw the animal control, people would say, oh, here comes the paddy wagon, they're coming to get this dog, and, you know, and nobody's dogs ever did do what these dogs do nowadays. And I wasn't around a bunch of people that where drugs was involved, and a lot of the time when you see dogs tied up to a tree and you see roosters and you see dogs, you know that there's more going on than just that, you know, because when you have 6 to 8 dogs tied to a tree, they don't get any exercise. They don't get any kind of love. They don't even get fed half the time. You know, something strange is going on. And there's so much traffic coming in and out. But my thing about the puppy mill, this particular lady that I'm talking about, she had put a fence all around her backyard. Then she covered it up with plywood. And she had 2 dogs that she kept breeding over and over and over. And then all of a sudden, I don't know what the period is, maybe 3 months or so for a dog to give birth. And then we'd see these little dogs running around in the backyard, and then one would be gone, and then another one would be gone, and then she'd bring in new dogs. And so I don't know if that was a puppy mill, and I really don't know. That's why I'm here seeking, you know, what's the difference. I just need some clarification. Because I don't want to overstep my boundaries anywhere. I'm just a homeowner that I'm heartsick because not only did my property value drop, but I can't even enjoy my family or have any friends over to my house because we don't see any peace. Can't even cook out, do the normal things that people like to do.
He does.
Because of the dogs.
The barking.
Well, not only the barking, the smell is horrendous. I would just love for you to come to my house and stay 24 hours. It's not as bad now since they took the dogs at that one residence,
right.
But the one above it is pretty bad. But
well, there are 2 things that you're identifying. One would fall under the venue of the county code, as far as adequate water, adequate...
Mm-hmm. Well, this is what I'm seeking, because, see, I'm not sure what... I went back and looked at some of the ordinances, you know, for the county, what the county... But a lot of it's kind of... It sort of kind of overlaps, because I was looking at, not only is there a lot of filth, I mean, dogs should have a clean environment, I think. If they're going to live tied up to, you know, to a tree, I mean, to me, their feces and stuff should be cleaned out daily, and this is not happening.
Okay, well, you've got, let me give you the site. Do you have a pen?
I do.
Okay. It's chapter 16, animals, and it's starts with article 1.
Article 1.
Right, and Brad has just said that there is...
Go to the Henderson County, NC.
.org. You should be able to find it.
Under departments, if you'll go to animal services, mm-hmm. Go there, and on the left it says ordinance. Click on that, and there's a whole PDF of the ordinance.
Well...
But the other thing that you're stating, as far as the smell and barking... And I don't know the answer to this, but it sounds like that would classify as a public nuisance.
Yes, and I've had the Henderson County...
the sheriff's been out
there. Well, the sheriff's been out there, but also Mike Williams from...
code enforcement.
Yes, code enforcement. He's been working with this guy 3 years, and this guy still hasn't got it cleaned up. I mean, but the dogs...
What about the Department of Health?
Well, they tell me they can only do so much. I've been to the Department of Health. I've actually, I spoke with a man named Andrew Moore. He is with the, because there is a creek that comes in front of my house in the house, and believe you me, when it rains, I love the smell of fresh rain because I hope it washes it down. But then the creek gets polluted. But the guy came out, and it was later on in the summer and early fall, but we were kind of in a drought. He couldn't get a good sample of the water to determine if the water was contaminated from those dogs. But then...
Well, can you check it and take it to him?
I can't get down, ma'am. I fell and broke my whole left side, and my left side don't bend very well, so I can't get down in that creek. But he told me he would come back. But he told me that that a lot of the laws on the book now in North Carolina, he says, comes from the Agriculture Department. And I understand that, you know, but my concern... I mean, I want to help all I can, but my concern is I just needed to kind of find out, you know, what guidelines I needed to take so I would know what to do when it comes to where I can help. Because when you're messing with somebody's animals, they get real agitated. And I mean, you know, they might do bodily harm to somebody. And I don't want that. I'm trying to, I guess, skirt kind of slowly, you know.
I've lived somewhere mm-hmm. exactly what you're talking about. I feel your pain.
I know. It's bad.
But what you will find on that website when you mm-hmm. read it is a lot of that will go back to the Department of Agriculture. Mm-hmm. You got to put your faith in them. I know a lot of times they're thinking, oh, it's a state. They don't do nothing. But you got to put your faith in them. When I say this, they're going to look at your animal problem. And if the water is being contaminated, North Carolina Department of Agriculture, Soil and Water is going to look at your problem. It's going to open a big window.
Well, the guy, Andrew Moore, that's who he was with, because I went down to the Department of Health down here mm-hmm. On Spartanburg Highway. She gave me the number because his phone number was out in Swannanoa, but he works the Hendersonville area. Mm-hmm. He came out to my house, and he actually saw that mess that was over there. But he said the lady that worked in the department with him, she was over the animals, and he took pictures and everything. But then he said, I'll get back with you. But he hadn't. But then in, I think it was November of 2016 when everything really started opening up over there on the property that's directly in front of mine. But the damage to my property value is really a big concern for me, you know. I've worked really hard for what I've got. I'm a single woman. I've done it all on my own. And I'm 65 almost. And I just want a little peace and quiet. That's, you know, and that's the reason I just wanted to come up and speak to you, because I spoke with you when we had the hearing here that day. And I've been so excited and pumped up about being able to come down, because I just wanted to have a hands-on and know what I could do and stay within my rights. I don't want to step any boundaries or overstep them.
Obviously, you have been in great contact with these
officers.
Are the
oh,
best.
My goodness. They are. They're fabulous.
And I know a lot of the issues with the food and the water and the shelter and the barking and the tethering, that's their whole realm. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I know they can do what they can do.
They have explained everything to me, but when I fell and broke my whole left side, that kind of paralyzed me for the rest of my life, because I now have a steel plate with 17 screws in my left from my hip down to my knee, and I've had back surgery, so I've got a lot of hardware, so I don't get around really well. But my son, he came back home to, he had just moved to South Carolina, but he came back to kind of look after his mom, and he works for BMW, and he works third shift, but he's not able to rest because of all the activity from the dogs. But like I said, it has subsided quite a bit since November, but the one above is pretty bad too. But I think
The one above
where the first dogs were, the ones that had 19 dogs on their piece of property.
They're gone, though.
They're gone. But see, that was my thing, because we're so close in proximity, you know, that I think the county commissioners, I guess, is who we'd start with. They need to look at the amount of dogs that you can have on one piece of property when you're that close in proximity. Really, what does anybody need with 19 dogs on a fourth acre lot? And I have a half-acre lot. I have zero dogs. But if you put everybody that's in my subdivision, if everybody had five dogs, it would be worse than being in the dog pound. You know, all the barking and yapping. And
very nice in the dog pound.
Well, it is nice in the dog pound. And like I said, I love dogs. But my thing is to just have a little peace on my property. And if I could take the clock and go backwards. And I hate to say this, because Hendersonville is a very pretty county. I was born and raised in Buncombe County. I wouldn't go back to Buncombe County for no reason. But I would not move in Henderson County because of what I've encountered. I would look elsewhere. But I'm sure it's probably all the same in every county, you know, because of the laws, because it's the state of North Carolina. But my concern is, and I'm not trying to overstep any boundaries, I just kind of want to understand, you know, where to go from here.
Well, it's already encoded in our animal ordinance about dogs being a public nuisance. So you've actually, by contacting animal control, you've taken the main step
in
the right direction. That's where you have to start. But
well, what is the step to take down where you can have 10 dogs or more?
Well, see, I think that comes under a nuisance, and that's where you would proceed.
But how do you get?
Don't we have a maximum number?
Seriously?
We just have to create a law, because there is.
Well, is that possible? Is it not? I mean, could a person not very well be satisfied with three dogs per?
See, lot? I think that's a little too subjective, I think.
What's it subjective to, though? I mean,
well,
seriously.
No, but see, if you start with the nuisance aspect of mm-hmm. it, you have something that's already
modified. I'm just curious because, I mean, I don't know what part of Henderson County any of you people live in, but when I came out here, I live in the mountain home area. I thought I was getting a really good deal for my buck. I've sunk so much money into that property, and my property value it may be going up because Henderson County's growing, but you're not going to get, and I may be overstepping when I say this, I'd say decent people that really care. You might get some people that don't care. What, you know, they got the dogs for the wrong reason. But I guess my thing is, I didn't know what step to go with the commissioners to see, could we not lower that from 10 dogs to 5 dogs? You know, because 10 dogs or 19 dogs, which turned out to be 19 in the end, that's too many dogs for anybody. First of all, they can't feed them. They cannot give them the medical care that they need. They can't.
But that's what brings you under the code.
Yeah. But see, that's what I'm trying to understand.
Well,
the codes and
it
stuff.
Would be very good for you to familiarize yourself with the code, which is.
Well, when I do, where do I go when I do familiarize myself with the code? Do I go to a county commissioner meeting, or do I come back here? Do I just get on the phone and call who? The county?
Animal control?
Then I just need to get these guys to move in with me.
That's what they do. That's
good.
Well, see, there's also fines for public nuisance.
I'm sorry, ma'am.
They're fines.
Okay.
I think a lot of what you're speaking to, and I want to say, and probably others will agree with me, I'm really glad you came today.
Thank
really
you.
Oh, I am too. Yeah. I'd like to see you back.
Don't be afraid to speak up.
No, ma'am, and don't be afraid to call these guys because I find it a lot in my line of work.
I didn't mean to call you honey.
regulate.
Mm-hmm.
The more you get in somebody's pocket, the more they pay attention.
Well,
so the more you call these people and they make these guys clean it up.
Well, you know, in 2014 is when I fell. They moved in around 2011. From 2000 to 2011 or 12 to 2014, I had over 100 and something calls to animal control, just me, and to the sheriff's department. Wow. So then when I fell in 2014, it took me a year and a half to be able to walk again because I was in a wheelchair. I couldn't get on my property. And there's a lady in here tonight. She's my neighbor, so she can vouch for all this. But when I once was able to get out and start walking my property again, I mean, I got cussed every day. I get cussed every day. But that's the mindset that these people are. They do not care. But so I got to the point that I had called so much that I felt like that I was roomies with them, you know, because... Oh, I haven't talked to Vince today, or I haven't talked to Mr. Blackwell today. I need to call them, you know, because this is not right. But these guys, they really jumped on it. But I think because these people are the way they are, just inside their family, it started unraveling. I don't know what caused it to unravel, but I prayed hard for the last 2 years that the Lord would do something to help me. And I do know if you wait long enough, some bad situations do go away. But
yeah,
I just want to, yeah.
Away.
But sometimes I would ask myself at night when I would go to bed and say my prayers, are these dogs going to outlast me? You know, all I want is a little peace and quiet. Because when I became disabled to work and I'm home 24/7, that's when I started really getting gray. And
start collecting telephone numbers.
That's why I have a book on dogs.
Yes. And as Carol mentioned, I think you could just go with a highlighter.
And find out what and get your position.
And these gentlemen certainly know the ordinance. I mean, probably inside out and could recite it backwards.
Okay.
But again, working with them, and perhaps at one point they'll encourage you to speak to the commissioners, speak in front of the commissioners.
Well, I tried one night, but they asked me to sit down because they were.
And I don't know the answer to this either. But if it's a civil violation, mm-hmm. or if it's a criminal violation under the code. Then I would think that either law, animal enforcement, or do you have like a prosecutor here? Is that a DA? What do they call him again?
Mr. Newman.
I don't know.
Who's Mr. Newman? He's the DA, I believe, isn't he?
Okay,
Greg
so
Newman.
His office. I don't know if his office would, you know, if it's a question of bringing a lawsuit against some people.
Okay.
I know that it's not a happy thing to bring lawsuits against neighbors, but you're not having a happy thing.
Oh, no. Well, my thing is, it's just the era that I grew up in because, you know, you respect your neighbors and you try to be a good neighbor.
I know.
But some people don't.
I know, it only takes one.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you've got one.
You mentioned that you live in a subdivision.
Mm-hmm.
May I ask for any type of homeowners?
Well, in the beginning when I moved out there, there was a homeowners association, but I was kind of green behind the ears when I bought that place. I was 45 when I bought it. And most of the people that lived in there were very elderly, but since then they've died. There's been a lot of people died in that subdivision.
So,
it kind of fell by the wayside, and their family members, they sold their property, and they sold it to some people that are just, you know, you've heard the term slum landlords, that'll just rent to anybody. And when you get a place that's overrun with rentals more than what ownership, the people come and go so much, you know.
You might want to check and see if there are any bylaws. They might be buried,
right.
But they
Even
might exist.
Even if the property's been sold, the bylaw go with the piece of property. So
okay.
if there's something on their books, you know,
okay.
not that just may solve your problems, but it might be another avenue.
Well,
if they're not in compliance, please.
Well, I hate to sound dumb. That's why I'm standing here before you guys.
Fine.
But tell me the bylaws. How do I go about that, or where do I go to find them? Do I go to the...
When you bought your property, when there was a title search done and some of that, those kinds of things should have gone with...
I do know that...
Do you have all your closing papers?
I do.
Then they might be in there, or if not, you can go back to the attorney that you closed with is still in existence here in their files. I mean, you should be able to find that. And there might be on... online if you went down to the courthouse and pulled up the subdivision.
Okay, that was my next question, the courthouse. Yep. Okay.
Do you pay homeowners association dues?
No, not now.
You do not?
I did in the beginning, but when all these people started passing away, okay, it just kind of fell by the wayside.
Any time a subdivision is started or constructed or whatnot now, that's an older subdivision. I know where you live at. Anytime one's constructed, they have to have on file the bylaws for the subdivision,
okay,
and all that. So you could very well go to the Henderson County GIS website.
GIS.
And look up those legal documents there, because they the Register of Deeds down here, I can't remember his name right off, but super nice guy. They just finally got, I think they've got the last of everything digitized, digital now. So you should be able to look that up if there's a copy of it there. But like everybody else said too, also if that was 20 years ago, that was 97-ish.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You may or may not have a copy of that with the deed and all that, but you should be able to.
I still have my original copy of everything that I had the septic tank done and all that stuff. I have all that.
It's a possibility. What would have happened, though, is whoever your broker was that helped you with the house, they should have been the ones to provide you a copy of that if there was a homeowner's.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. That gives me something to look at and appreciate.
And feel free to come back.
I will.
Good. Okay. Good.
I will. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Good evening.
Hello.
I'm Elizabeth Tortorelli. I am the neighbor of whom she spoke. We had a very distressing thing happen this morning. The dog that was deemed dangerous last month was loose this morning. When I got out of my car, it was loose. It was running around. And it came over my side of the car, my side of the street. So I called 911. And the officers responded. And unfortunately, Officer Griggs had to put it down. And I was very distressed. I was on the phone with Miss Vera when it was put down. And I have been harassed the entire day. Now, I know 911 does not divulge who called. But between myself and Ms. Vera, we have been harassed the entire day.
Harassed in what manner?
We have been cussed at. Birds have flown. I'm trying to be polite. Double birds have flown.
Big birds.
Yes. Yesterday, I was at the grocery store before any of this happened, and because of our dangerous dog incident, her daughter accused me of hitting her car with my cane. I had to call the Asheville police because she was screaming at me that I hit her car with my cane.
Do they own her?
I think they own, I don't know.
You can find that out, too.
They've been there on and off for 18 years. I rent. I called the police after all this harassment because they had people sitting in front of the house staring at my house. And they called the pickup truck to back up into my driveway and spin their wheels and throw the gravel all over the place. Now, I don't know if you can see, but I'm wearing a heart monitor. They're trying to diagnose whether I have a heart problem or not. Police officer responded, and I told him everything that had happened. And Officer Gaddy said, "You just calm yourself." I said, "I have dogs." And I said, "I don't need this. I'm afraid of my own to go out my door. I'm afraid to look out my window. apparently the new thing in my neighborhood is to sit on the bench in front of her house and fly the birds at me and cuss at me.
Do you have a camera?
Not a good one. Well, I told them where the vehicles had gone, and they said that they were going to go put the fear of God into them. And they went around the block, and she started cussing at me to come out, that I was a blank, 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 blank. You don't need to hear it because I'm a lady and I don't want to repeat what was said. And like Miss Vera, I just want to live in peace. I live alone. I'm scared. The officers have gone out of the way to help us. They have done everything. I called Officer Griggs yesterday, and I told him. He said, there's going to be an inspection. We're going to be there. I have to see it. He did everything this morning to try to catch that dog. And when the dog went at him, was when he did what he had to do. It was a young dog. There was nothing he could do. And the officer had told me, stay in the car. And then he said, go in the house. And I knew what was going to happen. And it was... there's got to be a law, because these people just ignored it. And to see that, to see that boy go in handcuffs, and now the husband of the woman, the mother, grandmother, her husband told her the other day, this afternoon, would you shut up? You're going to get yourself in more trouble. She said, I'm on my own property. I can say whatever I want to that blank, blank, blank. So she's going to stand across the street on the edge of her property and flip me birds and cuss at me. And she'll go to the edge of Vera's driveway and she'll cuss at her.
You have a camera?
I do.
Video it.
Well, my video picks up so far that it won't go all the way to my driveway. I tried to video.
Well, don't get close to take a picture.
But this, she said she's going to swear out with the magistrate that I hit her car with my, the Asheville police came, and he said, show me where. And there wasn't a spot.
You guys are going to end up getting restraining orders.
And I can't go to the store. I can't go outside my house. I mean,
you guys consult with the lawyer?
To the store? I mean, do they follow you? They know you're there?
The last time I went out, the last meeting when we were here, and I heard the regulations for an aggressive dog, which I did not know. One of my dogs fits the description of an aggressive dog. So when I go out to the mailbox, my dog goes on a leash so that she cannot go anywhere. They came out and said, ha, 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 look at Fatty. She's got a dog on a leash. Ha, ha, ha. Everybody look, and the whole porch filled up with people laughing at me. I'm just going to go along with the stipulations of the law. I don't want my dog getting in trouble and biting anybody. I'm trying to cover the law. I'm trying to do the right thing.
Yeah. I'm just sick for you that you have to go through this.
I don't want to move. I love my landlord. I love my house. I mean, something.
Did you discuss this with your landlord?
Yes, she's behind me 1,000%. She said, you got any trouble, you call me.
Have you consulted a lawyer?
Yeah.
Not yet. This has all happened so quickly that.
That might be a good idea.
Yeah, because I think what you're talking about now really goes beyond our scope. Because it's almost like civil harassment.
Yeah.
I'm not a lawyer. But that's almost like civil harassment, and it just seems like you should have some protections that, again, a lawyer will be able to talk with you about.
But the animal laws, I mean, she's got chihuahuas and pit bulls. And
mm-hmm. I, c- can't imagine any law that this committee could propose to the commissioners that would solve your problem.
Yeah.
But I think there are avenues that you may well want to, at least start on.
Yeah.
And one is, I think, starting with the code.
Yeah.
Making a list. And both as far as animals go and as far as personal.
Yeah. I mean, I'm keeping my dogs,
That's good.
On a tight rein. And, I mean, I have two Shelties, and they've gotten tagged once by one of her pit bulls.
Do you take your phone when you go to the mailbox?
Not usually, but I'm going to. And it's just a hell of a way to live.
Oh, it's horrid. It's horrid. I think we all agree with you.
I mean, Officer Gaddy said today, he said, I've been dealing with them for many years. He said, I know what's going on.
It's wrong if they prevail, but that's...
That's where, again, you need to talk with an attorney. You need to find out
what my options are.
And if they're criminal, then it might be the DA or prosecutor, but a lawyer could advise you.
Thank you. Thank you for listening.
Good luck.
Yes. Thank you.
Would you like to speak of this?
Yes, I would. I was just trying to deal with this part of this problem as we speak. Trying to get some extra security for your neighborhood tonight.
Oh, okay.
Ongoing.
Thank you.
Good thing.
I believe I know everyone. I'm Sergeant Paul Blackwell with the Henderson County Sheriff's Office. I'm a supervisor over animal enforcement. Part of the reason that we're here tonight stems from the problems that these ladies have been having. We have looked over the ordinances recently, and we've got a lot of changes that we would suggest that the animal board take to the commissioners to see that they're changed. Some of these ordinances that we have are actually in conflict with state laws. Corporal Griggs has worked very hard on looking at some of these things to change. When I say we're here tonight because of part of their problem that's been going on, I wanted to explain something to y'all. The dog that she's talking about was the last dog that we brought in that was deemed dangerous.
Chloe.
Chloe.
Right.
The board at that time was 3-1. Since that time, Chloe has bit someone in the face, tearing a big hole in the side of his face here down toward his jugular vein. Today, Chloe got out. He was aggressive not only towards us but toward the neighbors, too. I'll let Corporal Griggs go over the ordinance changes and stuff to you, but that's what we're dealing with when we talk about dangerous dogs.
I remember, and I was present, and I think I was the odd vote.
Yes, ma'am, I believe you were, yeah.
I think it came up in discussion, too. There seemed to me to be some grayness with regard to an aggressive or a dangerous dog. And so if in your recommendations you're delineating that a lot clearer, I would greatly appreciate that.
Weird.
For me, it was putting the dog in the dangerous dog. It was, as opposed to an aggressive dog, which did not have as strict regulations applied.
Yes, ma'am.
But I would greatly appreciate anything that would make it more clear, that when a case like this comes before us, that, it's again a...
Well, one of the reasons, that I wanted to speak, I was going to say this after Corporal Griggs spoke, our unit, there's six of us, we have to study the state laws. We have to study our local ordinances. We cannot go into a court of law without knowing what the law is. If we do, we wouldn't be in this job very long. I think what I'm trying to say is when we go out on these calls, we deemed Chloe dangerous. These folks brought this dog back to the board. This dog was extremely dangerous. This dog was a puppy. It was 11 months old. It weighed about 65 pounds. I picked the dog up today. I guess what I'm trying to say is we have to study to know what we're doing. When we deem a dog dangerous, we don't take that lightly. When one of the men has a dog situation like this, they will bring that to Corporal Griggs and myself. We look that case over very closely before we ever deem that dog dangerous, before it ever comes to you. Now, we don't deem every dog that bites somebody, we don't deem it dangerous. The situation with Chloe bit the owner's uncle in the face very bad, disfigured this man. He couldn't drink. It was running out the side of his face. I mean, it was really bad. Chloe, this morning, I happened to be on the scene too, and I'm standing there as Corporal Griggs is trying to catch this dog. And I'm going, Vince, don't play with it. Shoot it. We ended up having to discharge a round in a neighborhood, a close neighborhood. That's very dangerous, shooting a firearm in that situation. And that's kind of where we're at. But that's one of the things that led us to looking at these ordinances a little closer.
Well, we upheld.
Yes.
The determination was upheld.
Yes, ma'am. It absolutely was. Absolutely was. That's why the situation this morning, if you go back and look at your state laws and your local ordinances, it gives us a little more leeway. Now, I would have shot that dog anyway this morning. That dog was aggressive. It was very aggressive. That dog was dangerous. And it would have only gotten worse over time as the dog got older, too. That's generally what we find.
Did they comply with any of the things they were told they had to do?
No. One young man was arrested this morning for that situation. His dog was shot. The dog died. He was arrested.
He was the young man who was here?
Yes, ma'am. He was actually the one that said he was the owner of the dog. He was arrested this morning, taken to jail, charged with a misdemeanor, allowing a dangerous dog to run at large, and he was also written $1,100 worth of civil citations. And Ms. Stamey and this other lady are very correct. We have dealt with these folks a lot. We have done what we could do so far.
See, there are two issues, too. I mean, if you take the animals out of your neighborhood, that's not going to take care, my guess, of all your problems.
You're right.
Which is another reason I think consulting an attorney may well...
Most of their problems stem from a law enforcement view, absolutely, from an aspect.
Oh, no, all of it.
All of it. The dogs is a part of it.
They might have some civil, yes, ma'am. Too.
But Officer Griggs, Corporal Griggs has went over this, if you'd like to hear from him now. He's went over the ordinances. I believe you've all got a copy.
Yes,
thank you.
I'm Corporal Vince Griggs with Henderson County Sheriff's Office and the other supervisor in the Animal Enforcement Unit. Obviously, we're having issues in the county with some of the ordinances, the explanations of some of the definitions, things like that come up. And aggressive dog is one of those issues. I handed out, or gave to Brad to hand out, a copy of the ordinance. There's little yellow dots on everybody's copies. Those little yellow dots is where I'd like to discuss some things on. I have notes written all over mine. Please feel free to write all over yours. I also brought the state law book up here in case we need to reference something, or if you want to look at something that I've referenced. To start with, I want to appreciate everybody's here on the board. You guys do a great job, and I thank you for it. I know it takes time out, and it's voluntary, and so I thank you. This is a lot of work.
Vince, if it's better, we can move a mic down there, and you can sit down.
Either way, standing there. I can move, sit down.
It's up to you. I'm just saying we can easily move it if you'd rather be sitting instead of standing up there.
It don't matter.
Well, why don't you start where you are?
We can roll, and we'll move if we need to.
There you go.
Is that it?
You might be more expedient if you're standing.
maybe.
Would that be the hope?
You get me relaxed. So here we go. We'll start with the aggressive dog, the aggressive animal. That was a question, the last dog being deemed dangerous. And there are some issues with the ordinance and conflicting with the state law. My recommendation, well, we'll go through it and then I'll give you my recommendation so you kind of understand where I'm coming from. Under the aggressive dog, and you pointed this out to me during the hearing last time, my understanding was it was pertaining to a dog on its personal property, its own property. In the ordinance, it specifies not just on the owner's property anywhere. And that's where some of these issues come in to getting the aggressive dog. On number 6 on the front page, an aggressive animal is a domestic animal with a history established through more than 2 documented verbal or written warnings for attacking or threatening people. Domestic animals or livestock without provocation while on or off the owner's property. Examples of aggressive dog behavior include, but are not limited to, a domestic animal when unprovoked bites, claws, or attempts to bite or claw any person. A domestic animal found to be a menace, chase, threaten any person. A domestic animal which engages in or is found to be trained to engage in fighting. A domestic animal that terrorizes a person, such as by repeated unprovoked aggressive encounters or by pinning the person in an area without a clear, reasonable way to escape. Or a domestic animal approaching a person where the individual must fend the animal off by yelling, brandishing an object, or discharging a weapon. All that, yes, ma'am.
I think my point last time was not on or off, but the warning.
Yes, ma'am.
That's what I did.
Yeah, and it was all coming into play with it.
Right, and you were correct. I mean, you said that it was not a case where a warning would suffice.
Right. An aggressive dog, you have to give some type of warnings, whether it be a warning and then a citation or something, but you have to have a minimum of 2 encounters. The problem with the ordinance is it conflicts with state law.
Which is
dangerous dog. The matters of attacking or threatening a person or a domestic animal, that's a dangerous dog. Right out of the gate, it's under dangerous dog in the state law. The definitions of such, a domestic animal when unprovoked bites, claws, or attempts to bite or claw any person. That's an attack. That's under dangerous dog. Stipulates under state law.
But beyond a warning.
You don't even need a warning for dangerous dog. It's straight out of the gate. Dog comes after you in an aggressive manner of attack. Whether it bites you or not, bam, dangerous dog. It's under state law.
So you're saying that this shouldn't be aggressive animal. This should be dangerous dog.
This should be dangerous dog.
And the state law would preempt, wouldn't it?
Yes, ma'am. Okay. And that would take care of that. What we have is it's conflicting. You have a state law telling you that all these things that are listed under aggressive animal, by definition, is a dangerous dog.
Would you suggest, and I see that this is 6, and then we go down to the next paragraph, it's also 6. So,
yes, ma'am.
Would you suggest, just deleting that entire section and then have it, again, the definitions of a dangerous dog that you've indicated seem to be very similar?
Yeah.
That goes into play.
15? Would it all just...
Yeah.
We'd all be 15.
Okay.
We would just pretty much, my recommendation is pretty simple. It's just to delete aggressive dog.
You know, I don't think I've ever.
And the dog is either aggressive by state law, or dangerous or potentially dangerous under state law, or it's not. When you start getting in implications of giving 2 warnings, whether it be a warning and a citation or 2 citations, and that's coming up later, we're going to talk about that. You can have a law that is stricter than state law, but you can't have one more lenient than state law. And what we've done is we've created a law that is more lenient than state law. You can't do that. You have no basis.
Should 6 and 15, will 6 be just, are you suggesting eradicated, or would it be combined with 15?
I would
just... Is there
language? The language is, other than the language being... reworded a little bit. The meaning, the definition itself stands the same.
But, I mean, do you want in the, there's some good language in here as far as terrorizing or threatening or menacing. Is that in 15?
That is all in dangerous dog, yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. The dangerous dog determination under the ordinance and the state law, which pretty much coincides, is, and like you said, it's in 15, which, and the definitions are actually on page 2. And I did front and back because I try to save trees.
I've got 14.
a dog that is off the owner's property, either goes after somebody in an aggressive manner, mode of attack, does attack, is made for fighting, inflicts a serious injury on another animal, domestic animal. So everything pretty much is under dangerous dog.
Well, is it on or off the property?
That is the only difference. On an aggressive dog, it's on or off the owner's property.
I mean, if you had one of these behavioral issues on property, it wouldn't be any less serious.
It wouldn't be any less serious. When you get on somebody's personal property, you have to be real careful. You have to have a legal right to be on somebody's property. Without it, and you get bit, well, that's an exemption. Because the dog has a right to protect its property. So the only time you'd ever really look at something like that would be like if the meter man got bit a couple of times. But then that kind of falls under the nuisance ordinance as well.
Or a guest or an invitee or something.
Yeah, so I would be more out as the deputy to look at a nuisance ordinance on that versus an aggressive ordinance.
Well, depending on how serious the...
How serious the bite was. I mean, that could indicate some things. I mean, the difference between the stipulations on the aggressive dog and dangerous dog is a muzzle. And I think the shelter might be a little bit different. I'll have to look. I'm sorry. But the muzzle is the big difference. While it's on the owner's property is the muzzle.
What muzzle?
An aggressive dog, while it's on its owner's property, doesn't have to have a muzzle on.
Does not have to.
Does not.
Where do you find that at? I don't see the penalties for aggressive dog.
It goes on back in through.
Take away the six.
It's back in the book.
What one?
Hang on, I'll have to find it.
Please do. Yeah. I need to see it.
Do we know why? Was there a reason for establishing a definition for aggressive dog? Do we know how far back?
It was before my time.
Or 2013 when this was adopted?
It was in place at that time.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
It was grandfathered into a new one. So we don't know exactly.
But even then, it was only maybe 2 or 3 years.
It does seem
so. Maybe 2011s, maybe 2010s when it was established.
Okay,
I think
what page is it?
People
16-27.
Thought that it might be
it takes
a lesser
it.
Thing for the officers to use, but
okay.
Even then, we were talking about
page 16.
Stuff we're talking about now. But there were some board members that were pretty strong wanting to have that lesser of the two. In place, the mistake in the folly in that is that if these guys deem the dog dangerous, we don't decide, or you guys don't decide what, you just decide to vote it up or down. You can't decide to vote it down and say, well, let's make it aggressive. You can't do that. So I think when the board that put that in place, I think they thought that they would be able to vote it down, then go to aggressive, which is not an option. So.
So, anyway, my suggestion would be is just to strike aggressive dog and move forward with a dangerous dog. And I think that would take care of any confusion.
So, if we did a search, electronic search through, and just pull any reference to aggressive from the ordinance, is that correct? So that the only adjective, so to speak,
it would be the accompanying deletion would be the first page in number 6 in the definition, and then if you look at page 13 of 22, section 16-27, the obvious controls of an aggressive animal that's been deemed aggressive would be also removed.
Can
we
say that again?
Page 13.
If you look at the upper right-hand corner, that's the pages.
Okay.
front and back.
Aggressive dog control is
on the
bottom.
Right one.
She is.
Yeah, it's 16-27 starts at the very bottom of this page, but it's only two sentences, and then it goes to the next side.
So that would have to be taken out also? Is that what we're saying? 16 through 27?
Yeah, it would.
Yes, ma'am.
What they're proposing, and I agree with, is just going with state law, dangerous dog, and potentially dangerous. I think that would be less confusing, and certainly the potentially dangerous will cover anything that we ever would need to address as far as aggressiveness goes.
But would you ever want anything lesser? No, you think between nuisance and dangerous? I mean, I've never understood dangerous or potentially dangerous because the result
I think that's kind of in there. The dangerous and potentially dangerous is state law.
It's state law.
We have to work with that. I don't think adding one in between.
No, but I mean, to me, the result's the same. So there's really no distinction between the two, is there?
I think that's what Brad was saying. At one point in time, I think they were trying to make a distinction so that this board could maybe redefine how severe the punishment would be. But I understand it, that's really not.
I don't know that you can really look at it as making the law less than. Less than state law, because you could argue that nuisance would do the same thing.
Well, ultimately, here's what happens, is they're not being deemed aggressive. You're not going to get an aggressive determination brought before your board.
Yeah.
Because the officers aren't going to, they're not going to go that route. You're probably going to hear nothing but dangerous dog determination appeals. So that being said, that's what you'll be presented with.
So my understanding also is that there's nothing in 6 that needs to be added into 15 because most of all that would fall under a nuisance.
It's, yes, sir. Right. Anything else would go under the nuisance charge, which deals with the dog going over, use the bathroom in the neighbor's yard, deals with consistent barking, deals with different behaviors on the owner's property. It could be on the owner's property continually barking at somebody and stuff. And on the nuisance, we can enforce as far as much as saying, hey, look, you got to build a fence for your dog. You can go that far. And obviously they go through the same appeal process if they wanted to.
If nobody's got any questions, this is a good, if you'll allow me to just explain something, because I don't want us to get too hung up on all the details and if you don't have a clear picture of what he's talking about, because let me just paint a picture to what's going to happen. What we're talking about tonight, somebody's going to draft, they're going to strike where you can see what's being striked in these documents. And you're going to be able to look through this. We'll have that to you before the July meeting. And you'll be able to review that. And then at the July meeting, you guys can go through each portion and vote on it. You can look at the whole thing and come to a consent that the whole thing, everybody agrees on everything. But there may be something in there that you don't agree on. So, I know that I don't think there's anybody. Maybe John, were you here? Were you and Donna here the 13th? Yeah. We don't typically do a lot of ordinance changes. Maybe once. Very infrequently. So, this is this and other things. But I'm just letting you guys get a sort of know what to expect, so that we don't feel like you have to take absorbent amount of notes, because it'll all be outlined and laid out there easily for you to look at and see what's being changed and what's being what we're asking you guys if y'all want to propose. So
we have, I thought I had the state law at one point.
Oh, I've got a copy of the state book with me, and I didn't make copies of the actual state law. But I'm more than happy to get that to you. And when we draft everything up, I'm more than happy to bring everything in at one time if you like.
Okay, perfect. That's
and that
perfect.
Way you can.
And I can always Google if I can find a mouse.
Yeah, and if you can't find it, let me know, and I'll be more happy to get it to you.
If you look at the dangerous article there, it's going to mirror state law.
Yeah.
Right, but there's going to be other changes you're suggesting, right, because of state law. That's not the only one, right?
Well, the other section, but that's it for aggressive dog.
Right.
That's it for aggressive dog. If we flip over to the third page and look under number 36, which is the public nuisance,
right.
And this one right here is pretty easy. I think we need to take out the word attacks.
Yeah.
Once you hit attack, if you're off the property, you're a dangerous dog. So, and understand that molest there is a pester or harass by definition. It's not specified, but.
What is molest?
Molest is the pester or harass. You'll see it right before it talks about attacks. Mm-hmm. So that's what they're referring to, is the a dog continuously pestering or harassing somebody.
Okay.
So.
Question.
Yes, ma'am.
I mean, going back to these ladies talking today, at what point, I mean, the public nuisance, how long can somebody go on doing what they're doing without, like, there being some ramification to the deal? You know, if this has been going on so long, I mean, you know, you call out and they're, you know, still doing what they're doing. I mean, do you get arrested? Do you get charged with public nuisance? What happens?
We have wrote citations for public nuisance. And actually, we have a dog that is deemed a nuisance in the county.
So what happens to those people?
We ordered those people to build a fence, and they've done so, to keep their dogs in. Their dogs continue to run at large, and it was an obvious problem. We wound up having deemed two of their dogs dangerous, had to euthanize both of those dogs.
This is all in their neighborhood?
No, this is a different neighborhood. This has nothing to do with them. This is a different group.
But beyond the kind of aggressive, I mean, the nuisance
mm-hmm.
behavior. I mean,
yeah, you write citations on it, and then at some point in time, you can deem the dogs a nuisance. And then it's up to the deputy. And I'll have to look through here again.
What I'm asking is, at what point in time, how many times do you have to be called out? How many times does...
Well, for the ones that we deemed a nuisance out there in Fletcher, we went 3 times. And then we deemed the dogs a nuisance.
Okay, and then if the behavior continues, what's the...
You write citations. You can charge them criminally. It's actually turned all these ordinances turn into criminal law.
And then they have to appear in court.
And then they have to appear in court and testify before a judge. And the judge can make termination. And it don't come before this court. It goes to district court if they get to the misdemeanor levels.
Part of the fines are on page 11.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that, too. Because there's something we'd like to do on that. But on the nuisance things, we have one household deemed a nuisance in the county out toward Fletcher. And we ordered them to build a fence. They built the fence. The dogs haven't been out since. It's been resolved. If the dogs get out, they get a ticket. If it's a continual problem, then obviously we could charge them under a misdemeanor and have arrest them or give them a criminal summons to appear before a district court judge.
Barking and neglect and not cleaning up. They're in a fence yard, but they're just barking continually.
Well, if it's barking, that's a noise ordinance. And it's the same thing. We could write tickets. We can actually, under the barking in this ordinance, is deeming a nuisance. And we can tell them, hey, look, you know, your dog's been deemed a nuisance. They'll have the appeal process to come before the board here to either get it overturned or you guys can say, no, it's sticking. And then you can make orders. You know, you got to put bark collars on your dogs. You got to bring them in at night. You can make these orders.
Do they work?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I don't know. But stipulations can be made in accordance with the ordinance.
My friend has a dog with a bark collar on it. And then also...
Yeah.
Does it set itself?
So that's what we'd like to look at for the... just take out pretty much the attack part because that goes underneath dangerous dog.
It really does.
Well, the same questions keep arising. And so I think we're trying to answer them and get it fixed where we don't keep running into the same brick wall. The next thing is on page 10, and it's under F. And there'll need to be some wording on this, and Brad will have to help us out with this because this is really not from my part of it. I think we were going to do it under dangerous dog, though, if I'm not mistaken, the reclaim of a dangerous dog.
Yeah, I've got it all written. It'll be inserted whenever we bring this stuff to you. Okay. But what it all goes back to is that right now, if somebody signs a dog over to the shelter, they have the ability to reclaim their animal because people change their minds, things like that. However, the county's putting itself at a risk if we allow that to happen with a dangerous dog. If somebody signs over a dangerous dog and then they changed their mind. They don't. They've decided they won't adhere to the ordinance, and you know, because we've already had that dog in our custody, we could be looked at. It could be a liability issue if we just let that person reclaim their animal.
Is there any way to preclude?
Yeah.
Reclaiming? Is that what you're talking about?
It's just that they can't reclaim.
If it's
a dangerous dog, it cannot be reclaimed.
Yeah. It can't be reclaimed. But
can't
the
reclaimed.
Others, it can, yes.
Yeah.
But what others? I mean, like dangerous.
If somebody decides that, hey, maybe the officers are deciding, or maybe they've decided to sign their dog over in lieu of maybe a citation or something, then they might decide, hey, you know, maybe I'd rather. Not do that.
Well, why can't you say, make sure that this is the correct decision for you because it's fine?
Well, in the ordinance, they have the opportunity to reclaim the animal.
Yes, I know. That's my question.
Yeah, so we just need that reclaim taken out
in
dangerous dog.
I've seen a lot of circumstances. I see what you're saying because you think, you know, if I did that, I would know it would be the right decision then, but not everybody have that clarity.
They get home and their wife says, oh my gosh, what have
you
done?
Yeah, then they have
you know,
a difference.
You can turn my dog over, I want my dog back. You know, there's
yeah.
Yeah.
But then that leaves you liable? You're exposed?
Not in that case, but with
a
dangerous dog.
Dangerous dog.
Okay, so dangerous is where we're
the dangerous is the line.
Yeah,
okay.
We're saying they can't,
okay.
they can't change their mind on a dangerous dog.
Okay, good.
But if you get home and Toto ate your couch and you're mad and take him to the shelter and drop him off, get home and like, ah. You can go back and get Toto.
You take Toto?
Do you really have a dog named Toto?
I mean, her name's Maddie, but
oh.
It fits.
So, but that's it for that one. And moving on to page 11, this is real important to us. I mean, all of it's real important, but this one's really going to help us out. Under the ordinance, we get down here to the civil citation and penalties. For public nuisance, now that's your barking dogs, that's your dogs running at large, that's pretty much anything that falls into it, yeah. We ask that you guys change that to deputy's discretion. Right now in the ordinance, we have to give a verbal warning or a written warning. The first penalty is $50, the second penalty is $100. And it's $100 for a few more times, and then we can look at doing something different.
The discretion on which part of it?
The whole, where it says under nuisance at 16-8.
Right.
Under public nuisance, everything else is laid out of $500 fine. It is what it is. There's not a warning option. I mean, you have the option to give a warning.
The second one to be at your discretion.
At our discretion, yes, ma'am.
And $100 down, no.
Not to exceed $100 per violation. Where it says first violation, it says to the right of it says warning only. We need that warning only taken out. And then where it says second violation, $50, and third violation, $100, just take out the second and the third and give us discretion of either it's a $50 ticket or a $100 ticket.
So no warnings.
No warnings. We'll have the option to give a warning,
so
but it's our option.
With all three.
Okay. Right.
Discretion yes. From warning up to $100.
Warning up to $100, yes, ma'am. Some people, you go in, you strike them out a warning ticket, and you're done. Some people, you go in, and you're going to come back to get at least a couple of those $100 tickets before anything's done. So to nip it in the bud, give them a $100 ticket, and then hopefully you don't have to deal with it. But, you know, you get somebody with attitudes, cussing you and stuff, obviously there's other things we can charge them with on that, but this just kind of comes in with it. Also, something we would like to add, and this would be a benefit to us as well as the shelter, is filing a false report. And we'd like that penalty to be $100. That's if they come in there and they surrender an animal, they lie to the staff at the animal shelter, or they lie to us, that we could charge them with a $100 fine for filing the false report. There's a $500 fine in there for interfering with law enforcement, for an animal enforcement officer or agent, which covers the shelter. But, I mean, realistically, if somebody comes in and lies on a blue card, and charging $500 is...
That'd be like 16-9, filing a false report.
Yeah, you'd have to make one in there because there's not an actual section for it. But that would be something that they come down to the shelter, they lie to the shelter staff, which happens all the time. And then we have to
every
track
day,
down. Yeah.
Every hour.
Yeah, so we have
it
to go back.
That's a lot more work.
Well, false report, filing a false report is always a crime, isn't it?
Well, this is a civil report, not a criminal report.
A fee.
Yeah. So if we...
And 100, do you think is enough?
I'd put them on a United Airlines flight.
Yeah, I mean, that will do it. But,
that's an idea.
But, yeah, if, you know, if they file a, if they come in there and they lie to the shelter staff or lie to my guys where they're filling out a blue card, it just gives us an option to do something if we feel it's needed versus just going straight up to a $500 fine.
I hope you have that on your literature then, too, Barry.
But they sign it, says it.
Why can't that be discretionary, too?
I'm good. Hey, yeah, if y'all want to do that, I'm fine with that, too. I'm good. As long as we can write them a ticket for it, I'm happy.
You would know how egregious.
We'll definitely, when we get to our July meeting, and we have everything,
okay.
And we can.
Yeah.
He's standing longer than you had hoped, isn't he?
I'm just saying.
And I'm not helping.
Just going to hit the highlights, and then
right,
we'll have
okay,
it, and then there'll
out,
be
okay.
A lot of things you're going to want to discuss.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm good. I'll be good.
So plan for a long July meeting.
Yeah, bring coffee.
We'll have a picnic.
On page 14, this one's kind of minute, but on page 14, under section E1, the old ordinances was under 66A and stuff. We just need to change that to 16-27. But actually, that'll be gone because that goes under the aggressive. Yeah. All right. I think I got two more things left, and I'm done. On page 16, under section F, was that me?
I think so.
I'm sorry.
I'm blaming you. I don't know if it was you or not, but I'm blaming you.
I have that tendency. This is about a dog wearing its rabies tag. Under state law, they got to wear it all the time on or off the property, and the ordinance is while off the property. So we need to change that to coincide with the state law. Which is one under 130A-190 under the general statute. And down below that in our statute, in the ordinance, we give people 5 days to get their rabies shots done. Under state law, they have 3, so we need to change that date to 3 instead of 5.
Three business days?
It just says 3 days.
What's the penalty if an owner doesn't have a rabies tag on?
It's $100 a day per day.
Well, do you have 3 days to go get it?
Sure.
I mean, if it's at home, in the
store,
in the kitchen, say?
If you can prove it to me, I'm fine. If I call the vet, you're not getting a ticket. But if we write a warning saying your dog's not vaccinated, under the county ordinance, you have 5 days to go get that done. But under state law, you really only have 3 days to get that done.
But it also says in here that if you're caught without a tag, you have 3 days to...
To show it.
Okay,
yeah.
That's good. I'm good.
Okay.
So that's just stuff to get it coincide with the law, so it's not
okay.
Flipping back and forth. And ladies and gentlemen,
thank you.
I believe you have heard my sermon.
Can I ask a quick question? Just
yes,
based
ma'am?
On some of the conversations tonight, in your work, would you ever find it effective to limit the number of animals in a household?
Well, that's a slippery slope. The answer is. Obviously, the less animals we have, the less we have to do. I think when you go into, it depends on what you have your animals for. If you're a rabbit hunter and you got 15 beagles, well, that's a rabbit hunter with 15 beagles. So I think you need to look at that. But you'd have to make some type of exceptions to the rules, and by doing that,
what are animals? Gerbils and dogs, cats.
Patty, are you familiar with 16-86, page 19,
the companion,
article 3.
Okay. So we do have, Fred, I thought you said we didn't have a limit as far as the number
we
of
do.
Dogs.
It doesn't limit, just they have to register
yeah.
It. It's more than
after 10 animals, you have to go down to the shelter and register that you have more than.
Limit. It's just a
yeah.
Reporting.
And once you do that, you sign that we could come out and do, you know, a look around or whatever. But it doesn't do anything for, like, breeding or anything like that.
And is
so.
That number too generous? Is 10 too generous? Is it 10
you know, it just
it
depends on what you got and what you're doing. I mean, like I said, you're the rabbit hunter with, you know, 10 beagles and you're rabbit hunting. That's one thing.
Well, wouldn't that be something that might be connected to, like, if you have... I mean, what you say makes sense, but then take that and put it in the context of townhouses.
Well, see, I would say that should come underneath their home, yeah, the homeowner's policy
and
stuff.
And if it doesn't, the state doesn't protect against?
No, ma'am. And now with the barking and stuff like that comes into play, going to a noise ordinance or a nuisance. So when you start dealing with how many they can have, you have to kind of look at what you got.
What it has here is an enforcement. You're looking at 1619. Violators with more than 10 animals who are not registered or have excess animals from the registry must pay $50 for each additional animal.
Mm-hmm.
More than 10 per day that they are in violation.
Yeah.
So you're going to know about, in theory, if somebody's going to be obedient to this law, they're going to be registered with us, and we'll have an idea of what's going on, plus the ability to come out and make sure that animals are in proper care.
And
so
I
we
know
do have one, and I want to suggest this, and I don't want to
I know we have some
not to you know, nip it, but I'm just saying, let's look at this. And look, and if you have anything you want to add to it, discuss about the numbers and all that stuff in July. That again, that's something that you might want to discuss. But we do have a law, we do have an enforcement in place, and then with the existing laws, you know, penalties and everything else that we can do on that.
I don't have 1619.
It's down toward the bottom of page 10.
It may,
and some of these things, I apologize, but the way the printer kicked it out, kind of like cut half a sentence off them on some of these top lines and bottom lines. But yeah, if you have more than 10 animals, if you're not registered at the shelter, then there's fines and penalties for it till you do.
What's the benefit of being registered?
It gives a list of people that we know in the county that have more than 10 animals, and it gives us the availability to come out and do an inspection.
I'd be of the mindset, but I don't necessarily want to introduce this unless others feel alike. 10 is a lot of animals.
It's a lot.
And I guess I would hope again to remedy situations like Miss Stamey has faced, or perhaps others in the county. And I'll be honest, I think any more than five would be, you have to have a purpose for having that many.
If I understood her correctly, it's a number of a dog, but she was talking also about breeding and stuff like that, you know. And if you guys want to implement, hey, if you're going to be breeders in the county, you have to register somewhere, and that's fine too with me. That don't bother me a bit, but that might resolve an issue differently than what you're looking at. You know, if you're known to be breeding and selling animals, you have to be registered with the county to do it. I've talked to the agriculture lady from Raleigh, who comes in and does inspections on the zoo that we have and stuff. And anything that is sold, that ships, they get inspected by them, by the agriculture department.
Okay.
So.
Well, I'd be in favor of discussing that.
Now, I can't remember her name right now, but.
My concern was, because I'm so close in proximity, I don't have a problem with somebody having 15 dogs, like sheep dogs or, cattle dogs or whatever. But most people that have those kind of dogs, they have a farm. They have, like, acres and acres of property, which that's wonderful. But when you live on a subdivision where there's one-fourth acre here, one-third, a fourth, a half, and you just have a creek line that separates you, 10 dogs is...
I can't imagine a neighbor of mine having 10 dogs and that being acceptable. I wouldn't be upset about something going on there.
Yeah.
But,
And obviously, we worked with the case there pretty hard. But we were able to work through different deals with the ordinances that we have to get some of it in place. But it did take time, and it's a time-consuming,
five years.
Time-consuming issue. Are y'all good with me, or? Okay. Thank y'all for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Blackwell, for all your hard work.
Let's ask, 1622, the first sentence. Oh, good.
You don't have to come back.
No, we want you to stand up some more.
Yeah, and speak quickly so we can get out of here.
I'm sorry, what page were you looking at?
This is 1622, and it's page 12.
Page 12?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
What does it mean?
And I guess, you know, when I read it, following, you know, Valerie's inquiry about the pet store owner, does that fall in with this particular sentence?
The flea markets?
No, to collect living animals within the county for the purpose of resale.
I mean, it could be the flea market, too, but...
This sounds very similar to the case we just had where we collected almost 50 animals from up around Fletcher that were going to the flea market.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We could never prove that, but we were sure that that's what was going on there, that it was a puppy mill, and that they had children taking the puppies down to Smiley's and carried them around, which is legal. But then they were selling them from there, too.
That sounds legal.
So that's what then, this sounds like.
Yeah, and then some of that, they had a RV up at the RV park on Smiley's Flea Market, so it was on their property because they rented that property.
So this is referencing puppy mills?
Not necessarily.
I think it's referencing.
It's like people picking up people's animals and reselling.
I mean, I think the question is the word collect.
I think this is probably referring to something like you come to my house, steal my dog, and then go to sell it. Or you
it's
know,
not
you
a
said,
resale.
You said it's a resale.
That's where you're. It's,
yeah, you're picking up.
I was going to say if you read what it says, it's talking about going and collecting dogs like as in. Soliciting, it's talking about solicitations or the setting of traps on land. You're basically going out and trying to, with nefarious purposes, so to speak, to get animals to turn around and resell to someone.
Like, say,
Floofy over in Biltmore Park or something is out walking around, and you go out and entice that dog and trap it. So, and it's a purebred, and it may have gotten out or something, but you're trying to get it off its property or something.
That sentence means that. I understand that, but the first sentence, for any person to collect a living animal for the purpose of resale,
that would be the pet store.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the question: is if people are breeding a litter of dogs in their backyard and then they are going to the pet store guy is reselling those, then is that included in here? I think is
Why
the question.
Why is it a resale?
I think it's going more toward what John was talking about, was just the fact that if we're trying to get Fluffy off the property, trap Fluffy, we know it's not our cat or dog, and then we're going to take it, and then we're going to take it down here somewhere to sell it.
And sell it to the pet owner. Right.
So collect really means, collect means steal. Is that what you're saying?
It could be a bunch of feral cats, and you're out there collecting feral cats.
Okay,
all right. You're here to sell to a pet store.
We've actually had that situation happen where we had one neighbor steal another neighbor's dog or collect that dog, and they took the dog down to Fish and Pets and sold it. They were prosecuted, and they were charged with felony larceny of a canine. So we do deal with things like that. But I believe the intent of this ordinance, 1622, was that type of situation where they were collecting the animals in an illegal process. I don't think it's talking about a legal, legitimate business.
Yeah.
And it makes you sort of wonder why it's even in there. Well, there's already a law. I mean, yeah. Animal felony.
I mean,
stealing an animal is a felony.
It's a felony.
So why is that even in there?
It could be an unestablished, like we have Brother Wolf, Charlie's Angels. These are established businesses that people bring animals into. They adopt them out or sell them, whatever they do with them. You know, if you had, you know, somebody like me going out here, hey, man, I'll take that dog for you, and I take that dog just to sell it. I'm not wanting your dog. I'm just going to take it out and sell it. That's part of it.
And that's where the solicitation part comes in.
Because there's a lot of opportunities. I see what you're saying now, because there's a lot of opportunities on there from like Craigslist, somebody that's trying to rehome
Craigslist.
An animal.
Yeah.
Right. But so you got a dog on Craigslist. I said,
that would be impossible to even police. I mean, that'd be impossible to police.
It'd be hard to prove.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to clean up on, I just noticed 1627 on page 13, aggressive dog control.
Yes, ma'am.
That's going to be part
that would actually be deleted with right. the aggressive okay. dog.
Well, you might want to live in B, which is just the section is not intended to conflict with any other provision of state or local laws.
Yeah.
In general, I mean, not just dealing with aggressive. Just delete that part.
Yeah, because it would all come out. The whole, everything dealing with aggressive dog would come out of the.
So the word aggressive won't be in the ordinance.
Right, but the provision that precludes a conflict with state law should stay in.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. Just put that in there somewhere, yes.
Right,
ma'am.
Yes,
ma'am.
And that's what we intend to do as we look at it, is go through the dangerous dog and the nuisance dog and try to balance it out where it's not so confusing.
Right. Oh, I think that's excellent.
The aggressive dog, like Vince was telling you, if it was aggressive under this law, we might as well deem it dangerous.
Right. And see, you are out there, and you've got the entire scenario before you, and then you make your determination, and that's brought before us, and we're basically focused on what's been brought before us and whether to affirm or deny.
Exactly.
And so what you're suggesting is going to be incredibly helpful.
And there's a lot of difference in the way we view things, and it seems to be with the rest of our squad. There's a lot of difference between a dog that will come at you in the mode of attack, just like Chloe did this morning with us. That dog was dangerous, there's no doubt. Had that been a child there, I'm afraid that would have been a really bad situation.
Well, the young homeless woman who
that was
had been terrorized.
She was terrorized. But when we're there, it's just like you said, when we're there, we can kind of judge that situation. You know, if a dog comes on your property or in the roadway and barks at you and then runs back home, that's not, in our thinking, that's not a dangerous dog. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, if you will notice, when we bring a dangerous dog in with our wording and our report, we tend to lean that way. You know, we're not deeming every dog that we deal with as a dangerous dog.
Oh, I know. Oh, I think that there's an awful lot of faith in you. And, you know, and the animal enforcement and your calls on site.
Well, we have a lot of experience to back us up, and he's taught us well, and we in turn have turned around, and our guys have even found, some of our squad has even found some of these mistakes in the ordinances that doesn't fit. So they have to study. It's necessary for us to study these ordinances and study these laws and know them. And then on the other hand, we are not out there to bust everybody's chops. We don't write everybody a ticket that we could. Oftentimes we will give people a warning. We will write them a warning ticket where we could write them a large ticket. We're not out there to do that. We're trying to solve problems.
Right.
But when it comes to things like aggressive and dangerous dogs, it's a whole lot different. Mm-hmm. We have dealt with, we dealt recently with the death of a child over a dog. Two Sundays ago, we had a lady in a neighborhood eat up by a dog in the roadway, walking her little dog.
Oh, this was out in Mills River?
Etowah, I believe.
Yeah, Etowah.
So we do have a lot of these. They surrendered that dog. They surrendered that dog immediately.
And so that was unfortunate.
It was dealt with.
Couldn't get that dog back, like Brad was saying, the potential of them getting back.
That dog won't be got back.
No, but he's saying some dangerous dogs are
The way it's reading right now,
no.
I'm not sure if they could or not. If they turned around and decided they wanted that dog back.
They could have then, but they can't right now.
That's what we're going to change.
Yes, yeah. They can if they're once they're deemed.
You'd have to be here where the rubber meets the road and see these things that we see. If somebody's little chihuahua comes out and nips somebody or tears their blue jeans, we don't deem that dog dangerous.
Now, do we give them a stern warning? Sure we do. Sure we do. Chihuahua teeth are very sharp. I mean, they can definitely disfigure or maim someone, especially a child. Most of these dogs that we deal with in this situation are very powerful dogs. The dog today was a pit bull, and we do tend to deal with pit bulls a lot. Now, they're not the only dogs that we have to deal with. But
what is your hope at a hearing? Because I guess, especially after the conversation we had a couple years ago, Vince helped me a lot, you know, to understand a lot of your work and really your interaction with the community. But when we have the hearings and you're in the field, and you know this dog, it's almost like we really have to put our faith and trust in you, which is good. I like that. But what do you see happening at a hearing when John Q, dog owner, comes forward?
Let me just interject really quick. At the hearings, it's imperative that anybody listening to a appeal, that all bias, all agendas, everything else is put aside. You listen to the facts. You don't give them any more credit than you do anybody else. You listen to the facts. You understand the situation and what the evidence is presented, and you make your determination on that, because it's serious. And the next step from here, well, yeah, I know, but I'm saying the next step from here is Superior Court. That's the appeal for this. So we got to just make sure that we're clear that they're human. Our job as a board is to listen to the evidence presented, listen to the facts, and make a determination based on what's presented, information based on what was given to you at that time. Mm-hmm. That make sense?
It does. And plus, again, I have said this before, I think the clarification of this ordinance will be great. I know it's been, you know, somewhat great for me in dealing with an aggressive dog versus a dangerous dog. And but I think in clarifying that, I think that would be very helpful.
I think it's a rock wall, everybody keeps it into it just takes out the same, and it duplicates things.
From our point of view, an aggressive dog is a dangerous dog. If it comes off of its property, that is a dangerous dog. Mm-hmm. Even we actually have some dachshunds that are on our dangerous dog determination list now, and they didn't argue, they didn't appeal that. Those little dogs are mean. They're mean, and I know they can't do the damage that a German Shepherd or a Rottweiler or a Pit Bull can do. But if that little dog came up behind you, which they do, dogs know what they're doing. If you deal with them as long as we have, you'll learn real quick the differences in the personality of a dachshund and a Rottweiler or a pit bull. But a dachshund will run up behind you and try to hamstring you. It will try to cripple you by getting your hamstring. So, yes, that is a dangerous dog, especially when you're talking about a child. And they dogs tend to attack children more so than they do adults. So that's kind of what we have to deal with. Smaller in stature people, they will tend to attack those people more so than they would a bigger person. So that's what we have to deal with. And like I say, it's not necessarily a Chihuahua can be a dangerous dog. It can be, or a dachshund.
Again, I think clarifying this in the ordinance it's off its property.
And I appreciate you guys listening to this. And by all means, Darren, between now and the July meeting, if you have any questions, don't hesitate to give me a call. I'm more than happy to sit down with you and go through things.
And if you would, look at these too. You may find something that we missed.
Oh, I'm going to, yes. Yeah. It's like I just said, every time I read this code, there's something new in it.
And if you compare the state law, compare the state law.
That would be mean. That would be so mean.
Paul, I think we missed part of what you were saying.
If you will take it and sit down and look at the state law and compare it to the ordinance, there was several things in here that you can't do that. It was conflicting with the state law, as we pointed out. We'll see that. But like I say, if you will sit down with that and kind of compare it, when you got time, when you've got a little spare time and look at it. So you may find something else there too.
I think we need to get to Brad's portion of the meeting.
Yeah,
and I don't have it in front of me. Is there an extra one?
An extra what?
Checklist.
Did it get down? It went that way. Does Mike have an extra?
Extra agenda. Is that an extra checklist thing?
Did I fail to pass these out?
No, I have here.
Looking for one of these.
He's looking for the checklist. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Here you go.
Thank you. But he needs what I'm going to take.
This is a front and back document. Anytime at the shelter, this is a document that is our checklist. Anytime at the shelter before we put an animal down, we have to go through this checklist. That first set of stuff there is what we have to go through with every animal. And it's pretty self-explanatory. And right now there's only three people at the shelter that are even certified to perform euthanasia. And there's really only two that's doing it, myself and another person. But I'm doing the bulk of euthanasia now, ever since, in light of what happened back end of December and December. So anyway, these are just some safeguards that they were already in place, but nobody had to check off that they had actually did them. And so now they do, including myself. So if you'll look even on the front and back, these section 1 through 8 probably means more to Mike than it does any of you guys. But anytime you have an animal that comes in and is housed in the shelter, it's going to fall under one of these categories. You'll either know the owner or you don't. But each one lends itself to different things that you need to cover your basis in. And so I just wanted you guys to see that this is what we're doing. This is what we've been doing. No animal has been put to sleep since that incident without a similar checklist. Now, it has evolved, and this is the latest and the greatest, but it has evolved, but nothing has been put down without a checklist like this or similar to this. So,
Brad, when an animal has been deemed dangerous, mm-hmm. it's turned over to you all, cannot be reclaimed, as we're going to change.
Right.
Does that dog get euthanized?
Yeah. Yeah. Those also in our
immediately
ordinance.
Or still in a hold pat 72 hours, you still have to do all that? Or is it immediately that dog is euthanized?
It, well...
If it can't be adopted out, the people can't reclaim it.
Right now, it isn't. But when we change that, yeah, it could be immediately euthanized, for sure. But you also have to think, it also depends on, is that person still in the window where they can bring it to you guys to hear? Because it could
you're
be
holding the dog.
Ah, okay.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense.
But there must be a time frame where they've got X number of days.
Yeah, what is it? Five business days to file an appeal to me. Yeah.
Okay.
And then by law, we have to hear that within 10 days, correct? Yeah.
10 days of the appeal.
Of the dangerous dog finding.
No, of when they appeal. They. Yeah. Yeah.
To what?
From the time they appeal to get it back, we have to hear it within 10 days.
Well, it's not an appeal to get it back. It's an appeal to overturn the
determination.
Right. So.
Okay.
So, you know, it would lend itself to, but yeah, in a perfect scenario where, you know, the person may have had the dog on their property for 6 days and they decided that, and they never pursued trying to have it overturned, and then they turn it over to us. Yeah. What you're saying, I could put it down immediately.
After I
make sure that they're, if they don't have proof of ownership, so you'll see on here, animal of owner surrender with no proof of ownership, I'm going to have to hold that 72 hours in case there's an owner out there that this person may be misleading us in some way.
Right.
Looks like you've got it together there.
They wouldn't have the dog on their property for 6 days after a determination.
They could. They could have it in their house. They could.
They've done what they're supposed to do.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. They could have it there for 3 months and decide one day, you know, this is just too much. I want to turn it over to the shelter. And then I would have proof of ownership because we would have some record from the sheriff's department that, you know, they've had the dog, yeah, for that long. It's their dog. Yeah, so that's all I've got.
Okay, thank you on that one, too.
Okay. So at the next meeting, you guys can expect probably to have, and prior to the meeting, we'll have a draft copy of the ordinance, and then we'll go through and talk about. I'll probably also have some shelter stuff in there that wasn't presented tonight, but I'll be able to go over that night.
And I might come by and get it instead of trying to print one out if they're this long.
That's fine.
What about your euthanasia and the cards and all that? Are you still working on that? Or not the cards, but the instructions? Is that what you call
this them? This is kind of correlates with a
just
lot of that. It,
okay, good. Okay, that was kind of my question.
I
kind of,
yeah. So.
Okay.
The only thing, that stuff that you had, that also had to deal with adopting animals and transferring, because ultimately, you know, it's worse to euthanize an animal every time, but also it can be almost as bad as if you adopt out somebody's animal, even though maybe you were within the law. But if you haven't covered all your bases, you know, that can be bad. So.
Make a motion, we adjourn.
Second.
Where can I buy
them
now?
Brad?
Yeah, a minute. Just hold on a second.
We gotta make sure I do it right.
Oh. Yes,
the
computer.
Sorry.
The closest?
Best Buy?
No, that's even further away. I've got one on